Line, Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from The Game Studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And of course, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. D. Mays in the house. How we doing, D. Mays?
Hey, we're doing wonderful, unlike TCU right now, but that's a different story. Yeah. Let's get into this thing.
Tough scene. Willie Donick is with us as well. Willie, what's up?
Greetings from Toronto, guys. I'm hearing big energy in the background. I like that. They played it last night in Ottawa, so I know we're cutting edge. And as we were commenting on our text chain, of course, they were playing it on ESPN going into the break. So we are truly cutting edge because we had it before they had it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they heard our show and then copied us.
Exactly.
So.
Absolutely.
Pretty much. And Willie,
out next time.
Willie, how many – they've won, what, two in a row now? Away from Bridgestone.
Three.
So you got two more. You can't come home. That's the thing.
You
can't come home. Five
there.
In a row.
You
absolutely.
We got two more to go. Tomorrow's going to be tough, but I'm going to do it. We're going to get it done.
Exactly. So you can't come home unless you get five in a row, man.
Make us proud, Willie. Right. Well, Georgia, of course, wins the national championship last night, 65-7, the largest margin of victory in the history of college football bowl games, and it happened in the national championship. Mitch Light from The Athletic will join us later on in the show. Tim Hasselbeck, NFL ESPN analyst, will join us in 1 hour, breaking down the Titans' moves. So yesterday, Mike Vrabel took to the podium, and he was asked very fair questions by reporters of what are the changes that we can look ahead to? What's the plan moving forward? But one question, and one person in particular that I think the three of us were all wondering about, that I think every single Titan fan in this city was wondering about, was the job security of Todd Downing. And if the Titans had decided to move forward without Todd Downing or not. Jared asked Mike Vrabel that question yesterday.
Into your decision about whether or not you're going to retain Todd after the DUI?
I think our behavior and our actions outside of here are critical, whether that's, you know, mine, the coaches, the players. I mean, I think that that's something that's extremely important and critical in how we carry ourselves outside of here. But we'll have those conversations. I'll have meetings with coaches, and we'll go from there.
And Jared also asked Mike Vrabel, point blank, hey, is Todd Downing going to be retained next year? And Mike Vrabel, to all of the questions that were asked along those lines, the answer was, we need to take our time, we're going to evaluate, we're going to have conversations, we're going to take a step back and look at the season as a whole before we decide to make any changes. And I'm thinking, Mike Vrabel is the one who says that he evaluates himself, the players, and the coaching staff every single day. What more do you need to evaluate? And then just a few hours after Mike Vrabel saying, we need to take our time to evaluate, it comes down that Todd Downing has been fired, along with Keith Carter, along with Anthony Midgett. But I think the biggest story here is the Titans are moving forward without Todd Downing. Both of your initial reactions to the news yesterday.
I wasn't surprised. If he was going to make a change, I knew it had to be, you know, in short order. I didn't think that, he would do it like an hour after, doing his press conference. But I think he probably still had some evaluating to do and talking with the rest of the coaches before he wanted to make his decision, because it wasn't just like he fired one guy. He fired three guys on that offensive staff. So I'm sure he went back to his office and sat down and thought about it and talked with those coaches and came up to a decision that he wanted to move forward. And the good part about it for him is he didn't have to answer any questions about it. He made his decision. They put a press release out, and that was it. He didn't ask. He didn't have to stand in front of anybody with questions being thrown at him. Now, eventually, he's going to have to, take those questions eventually, but he strategically did it the way he wanted to. He controlled the narrative of when, how, and why he was going to release coaches. He didn't want to release them and then have to, answer all the questions that would have came with that. So that was a really, really smart move by Vrabel.
Awfully strategic,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
Don't want to answer any questions about it, so do it after the media availability.
Strategic is an interesting word because I had a lot of people reach out and say, why didn't they just, like, they obviously knew the changes they were going to make going into that press conference. I don't think he went out and pondered it a little bit more. Maybe he hadn't talked to the coaches, but you got to figure they played Saturday night. They had all day Sunday and all morning on Monday, and then they went in there and intentionally, it looks like to me, intentionally did it after the press conference, where they could have come in, announced the changes there. So I'm sure they had their reasons, but it was a little bit odd the way they did that. But nobody's surprised, right? You know change was coming. You just kind of sensed it as it was moving forward there. And look, I'll say it. I'm going to stay consistent with it. Todd Downing did not get dealt a great hand, but it's unfortunate. In this league, it's a results-based business, right? At a certain point, you know, he can't look and say he didn't have opportunities, but I'm sure he'll shake his head. You know, someday 10, 15, 20 years from now, he'll look back and say, boy, I just wish I could have, you know, operated with my quarterback for the full year, for, you know, with some semblance of an offensive line. What if they hadn't traded A.J. Brown? But, you know, it's a tough business.
And I'm with you, Willie. We all knew change was coming. Mm-hmm. Even when Vrabel yesterday was saying they were going to have to take their time, they needed time to evaluate, my first thought was, what are you waiting for? But my second thought was, well, it's going to happen, and it has to happen. And I think that for two different reasons. One, the most obvious being, the Titans had one of the worst offenses in the NFL this year in every single offensive statistical category. Let's not forget that only 2 years ago, the Titans had a top 10 offense in the NFL. They had an elite offense. 2021, they take a step back. Mm-hmm. 2022, they take even bigger steps back. So just job performance basis, Todd Downing didn't do anything to be able to deserve to keep his job. So I think that's number one, is simply just the job performance. We all saw it. The not having a great feel for the game, questionable play calls, the fact that this offense wasn't as effective as it had been in the past. But I think the biggest thing, and the second reason why I knew that Todd Downing was going to be fired, that I knew that the Titans were going to move forward without Todd Downing, was because it was really almost like a save face move for Mike Vrabel. If Mike Vrabel would have retained Todd Downing, I think that a lot of fans, and myself included, and maybe you too would feel differently, I would look at Mike Vrabel and say, are you putting your ego before the football team? Are you saying, this is my guy and I'm going to stick with my guy, even though that's not what's best for the football team? That's a really bad look. I think a lot of fans would start to question Mike Vrabel's ability to carry out this job and to lead this team to be an eventual Super Bowl contender if he retains coaches like Todd Downing. So I think that was another thing, was it was a move that had to be made simply based off of job performance and also the perception that Mike Vrabel is doing everything that he can to get this offense and in this team into the 21st century.
Well, he's going to, whoever he hires, they have to have a forward-thinking sort of game plan in what they want this offense to look like. Will it run through Derrick Henry again? And these were the questions that were asked of Vrabel yesterday. And he sort of was non-committal to any of it. But this offense needs to move forward. It needs to look like a 2023-plus type of offense. They need to be able to win in numerous ways, not just if we're not running the football well, then, you know, the likelihood of us winning is very slim to none. They have to be able to win in several different ways. So to me, he has to have someone that has complete control of the offense, not looking over their shoulder. Because, you know, frankly, and it's, you know, it's unfair, but sports is not fair. Todd Downing was looking over his shoulder the whole year. When they brought in Tim Kelly, I remember saying this, they brought in Tim Kelly for a reason. And that reason was, hey, listen, Downing, if you don't get it right, this is your replacement right here in building. We're not going anywhere else. You don't hire a guy to be your passing coordinator, so to speak, passing game, whatever his title was in regards to the pass. You don't hire him to not stay on your staff moving forward permanently. He doesn't want to be a passing game coordinator all his career. He wants to be elevated offensive coordinator and then subsequently after that head coach. he wasn't going to do it here, meaning Tim Kelly, if he wasn't sort of giving the sort of the wink that, hey, listen, this is your job. Don't worry about it. It'll eventually be your job. You don't come here unless you figure, hey, they fired me to the other place. I need a place to, you know, kind of land softly, and then I'm leaving here. The minute they brought in Tim Kelly, the clock started on Todd Downey. Is it fair? No. But is it sports? Absolutely. That man was looking over his shoulder every game. And every game that didn't look the way it was supposed to look, what happened? We come in here on Monday, and we talked about the ineptness of Todd Downey. And you know who else was hearing it? Vrabel and Tim Kelly. That man was looking over. He was calling plays, looking over his shoulder every week. Was it fair? No. But it's sports.
And you have no left tackle. And you have your spiritual leader on the line, Ben Jones, goes down when you're 7-3. You lose Nate Davis. You have Treylon Burks, who you're supposed to have replacing your best offensive receiver, offensive weapon outside of Derrick Henry, and he's riddled with injuries. So there was a lot of things that piled up that made Todd Downing's job very difficult. And, Derek, I'll give you credit. You did say that. From day one with Tim Kelly, that he had sort of that sort of dynamic going on there. So it'll be interesting to see if he elevates him as they move forward here. But once again, it's a results-based thing. It was tough. It's a tough business. The DUI certainly didn't help. And I think we all kind of saw the writing on the wall there.
Absolutely. I think that was a move that we all expected. Just didn't expect it a few hours after Mike Vrabel said, we'll need to take some time and evaluate. Okay, Mike. Good call, Mike. You don't want to answer any questions about it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get into your calls, your texts, all of your thoughts on this. But D. Mason Willie bring up Tim Kelly, and he's a name to keep in mind. But what other names should we keep in mind as well? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.
Mike, as you go about evaluating your coaching staff and your players and looking at what needs to change, how do you go about evaluating yourself as you kind of reflect on what's been your first losing season? How do you kind of internally look at the job you've done?
I think when you work, you know, the ability to play with 23 guys on a practice squad or from the street out of 48. You look at, you know, how competitive you are. You know, didn't do a good enough job. We lost too many games. I think that those things will come. I think that self reflection. You know, I mean, nobody would evaluate that they did a good enough job because we didn't win. How I try to lead and the connection that I make with the players. And, you know, ultimately you're only defined by one thing, and that's whether you win or not. So short answer is that it wasn't good enough.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel. Hey, 23 out of 48 players. We did a pretty good job, but hey, didn't win enough. And that is one of the reasons why Mike Vrabel has decided to part ways with Todd Downing, one of many reasons. It was a move that needed to happen, and it was a move that I don't think anybody was surprised by. Now, we all understand why it happened. Now comes what's next. Who should the Tennessee Titans bring in to be their next offensive coordinator? And there's two areas that they could go down, you know, looking at it from a very macro perspective. Do you promote from within? Or do you go out and find somebody else? Mace, you brought up Tim Kelly. I think even before it was announced that Todd Downing was fired, when it became, you know, a topic of discussion of Todd Downing no longer being part of the Tennessee Titans organization, I think all of our minds instantly went to Tim Kelly, the guy that Mike Vrabel brought in to do whatever it is he does. His title is the passing game coordinator. I don't think any of us really know exactly what his job is. We know his job title. We don't know his job duties. But that was the number one name that everybody kind of went to probably be the next in chain of command. But I'll say this, in my opinion, and I want to get your thoughts on this as well. In my opinion, I think it would behoove this team, and it would be the best possible thing for Mike Vrabel to at least expand your horizons. Look around. See who else is out there. This is an offense that we've been saying for the past few days that needs to be, you know, refreshed. This is an offense that needs to be worked on in order to, you know, be out of the bottom of the NFL in every statistical category. That needs to come from a young, fresh, and different mind that may not already be in Mike Vrabel's circle.
Yeah, the first inclination, I think, would be to hire someone that's already on the staff, someone that knows the personnel the way you know the personnel. Sometimes that's good, sometimes that's not. I was going through Twitter, and I think I ended up sending you guys and girls the tweet by Paul. He said he expected Tim Kelly to be promoted. He expects Tim Kelly to be promoted. He says, but that he looks outside for all openings, hirings. He needs to bring sort of a fresh look into the organization, a fresh face, new thinking. We've seen it through Vrabel's track record here. He often bring in people that he's very familiar with, that is sort of in line with what he's thinking. And that's great. That's what you want to do as a head coach. But I think you also want to bring in people that's going to challenge you. I think DP's challenged him from a defensive standpoint because Dean had been in it for a long time. Dean understood it. He's arguably one of the greatest defensive coordinators ever. So if that's the case, then I think you need to, and I'm not saying Tim Kelly's not qualified. I'm not saying that. But I think sometimes if you don't go outside and look for something different, then you're going to end up falling in the same patterns that you've been falling into in prior years because you're going with what's familiar. What did they say? Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes you got to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations. Well, in this situation, you bring it in someone that you're familiar with, someone that you work with. Yes, it's good, but how is he going to make you uncomfortable and grow as a head coach in that aspect of offense if basically he's calling the same thing that you would call, or he's always agreeing with you, or he's making sure he's doing, you know, what's going to, you know, make you happy and not lose him his job? I think you bring in someone, or at least you interview someone that's going to give you that alternate view, that's going to really usher this team into the 2022, 2023, 2024 type of offense, not someone that you are so cozy with and familiar with. How do you, this offense is going to continue to look like it has been in previous years. They're going to be running the same offense, just different players. That's the way I feel. Now, it may turn out to be totally different, but if you hire within, you're hiring for comfort, not necessarily for this guy is going to elevate our offense. Because, you know, when Tim Kelly was offensive coordinator from 19 to 21, I believe, in Houston, they had one really great year with Deshaun Watson. I think that was sort of Deshaun Watson's MVP type year, but then after that they begin to fall, and people could say, well, Deshaun Watson was hurt. I get that, and I get they had other injuries, but that offense continued to go downhill after Deshaun Watson. So to me, he hasn't proven that he can take an offense and elevate it to a top five, top 10 offense without having that elite quarterback.
And I do think that
I think you've hit a very good philosophical question, Derek, and that is simply, you know, do you go outside of your circle and bring in somebody new, or do you elevate? And we have seen his track record. I think when Mike Vrabel sees somebody, even if it's a no name like Shane Bowen, if he sees something special in those guys and they are trusted and they're moving up, that seems to be his tendency. And I think we would all agree. But the next thing that I think you have to ask yourself philosophically is, okay, are you running it back with Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill? Because automatically, if you say yes, then how can the offense, like you, Derek, I hit on something you said last segment about, you know, you need a little bit more of a modern offense. Well, as long as Derrick Henry is the back, I think we can probably say, is that, can you have a modern offense if he's going to be the guy? Or are we evolving the ideas with Derrick Henry where he's not going to be the guy that carries it 350 times or whatever it's going to be? I think that's where you have to start. And then, of course, you got to decide, you know, how are we going to fix the offensive line? And what do we have with receivers? You know, what about Robert Woods? What about the secondary guys? Who? How can we piece together a passing attack if we're not going to be a pound it, run it more than anybody else kind of team? I think these are the important questions as you decide who the offensive coordinator is.
And I think that's what they need to decide, is what is the offensive philosophy moving forward? Derrick Henry isn't getting any younger, but it doesn't also mean that you can't hold on to Derrick Henry, but also not give him the ball 30, 35 times a game. That you can be a pass-heavy offense, but still have the threat of Derrick Henry in the backfield. You don't have to be the offense that the Titans have had, which is very, you know, run, 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 run. You can also still hold on to Derrick Henry and evolve your offense at the same time. But let's get to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug is up next. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, guys. I know everybody's been crying for the offensive coordinator for a while, but my cry has been the defensive back coach. If you're not able to score, that's one thing. But when you can't stop people from scoring, and Derek, you can say this, those defensive backs look lost many, many times, and it's all coming back to the coaching. And if we're not making them any better, I mean, we don't have any defensive backs that are going to the Pro Bowl. Why? Because you're not making them better. And I like what you said about Dean Pease, that I almost forgot about him. He was a guru, and if you don't look like him, then you're not going to be like him. And I'll end my call by saying this. If you want to know how good Todd Dowling was, see how fast he gets picked up in another team or another program. That'll tell you how good he was. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Doug.
That's a good point.
Well, Anthony Midgett, the secondary coach, was fired. So I think that's kind of a recognition of the secondary wasn't up to par. We gave up too many points in the secondary.
But again,
can we just take a moment and also congratulate Dean Pease on a third retirement? Is there a fourth coming? Probably call him. It's to Doug's point.
Him and
the
Gronk.
Best all get the calls, right? Even after you're retired, you still get called. Are you sure you're retired? Man, you're really good at what you do. I don't know if Todd Downing's phone is going to be ringing anytime soon to be a coordinator. Now, he may latch on somewhere, but I think, you know, to get another shot at a coordinator, it would probably surprise all of us a little bit. So that's an interesting point by Doug.
And he's right. I think the defensive back coach, you can't get a guy or have a guy and watch his or teach him the things that he needs to be taught and see that progression if he's not on the field. He didn't draft, unless he had something to do with drafting Caleb Farley. He didn't go out and said, that's the guy I want. And if he did, then his mistake, you know. But he didn't have time to really coach up Caleb Farley. Why? Because Caleb Farley was always injured. Elijah Molden started to get better, but he got injured. Christian Fulton, he started to get better, but he got injured. It seems like it's convenient for him to fire guys like that when injuries are around, but he don't take a look at Pat O'Hara, who hasn't developed the call. You can say, he developed Ryan Tannehill. No, he didn't develop Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill was developed before he got here, but Ryan Tannehill was the beneficiary. He got better with age, and he was the beneficiary of having arguably one of the best running backs in football history for that period of time. So his job, I'm not going to say his job was easier, but when you have a running back like Derrick Henry, you're afforded to do some things that you might not be able to do without him. So to me, Pat O'Hara, it was convenient to fire the defensive back coach. It was convenient to fire the offensive line coach. And I'm not disputing that. If they didn't get better, then you got to move on. But tell me which one of these quarterbacks that they've drafted that they've went out and they've got better. From Cole McDonald, who was drafted in the seventh round, to Malik Willis, to Woodside. None of these guys have been developed. But he's exempt from all of that. Why? Because of Ryan Tannehill, What about these young guys that Malik Willis that you drafted in the third round that you want, that you saw visions of him being your franchise quarterback or maybe even a backup? He's not developed. I didn't see no development in him this season. Woodside, they put him on practice squad. He gets picked up. Why? Because they chose to put a rookie in front of him. That tells me he wasn't developed enough.
And I think
congratulations on remembering Cole McDonald was drafted. I hadn't forgotten about him. He is on a farm somewhere, I think.
So what is the Titans' offensive philosophy going to be moving forward? What parts of this core are the Titans on planning to retain? Mike Vrabel went to the podium yesterday and talked about it. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. Hey, the Predators have a home game tomorrow night, and it is your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, then you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate in Pick to Click tomorrow morning at 8:45 a.m. with Robbie and Rex Road. So, breaking down...
Caroline, I may be in the wrong city if they have a home game tomorrow night. I'm in Toronto.
They have a home game Thursday night.
Well, no, it's a home game on Saturday. We're on the road. But do they do Pick to Click on road games? I'm sure they do, right? Is that...
I just read what I'm told to read.
This is not your fault, Caroline. The typos happen. But I just did a double take. I said, wait a minute. Is the team still here? Am I in the wrong city?
Preds do not have a home game tomorrow night. But I'm paid to read it, so I read it.
I check. Yeah.
But breaking down.
That happens.
What the Titans do coming up next. Of course, Titans moving on from offensive coordinator Todd Downing. And Willie, you brought up a fair point. And the Titans need to figure out who they want to be offensively, what their offensive identity is going to be, and then find an offensive coordinator that can fit that offensive identity. And there are two really big decisions that the Titans have to make in terms of how they move forward and what their offensive identity is going to be. First one, most glaringly, is Ryan Tannehill. Do the Titans want to go into 2023 with Ryan Tannehill as their starting quarterback? Mike Vrabel was asked that yesterday. This was Mike Vrabel.
So you don't feel comfortable right now committing to Ryan as the starter for next year?
Well, I mean, he's our starting quarterback. If he was healthy, he's our starting quarterback. You know what I mean? So that's all I can tell you. And right now, there's a lot of guys that aren't healthy and that didn't finish the game. I mean, I think we're going to talk a lot of hypotheticals 2 days after our last game. So, you know, happy to talk a lot about things that I can answer, but I can't answer things that, you know, are in the future.
Okay, so kind of a strange response from Vrabel. I think it's almost like a half commitment to Ryan Tannehill, but also like one foot is still out. Because Mike Vrabel says, well, if Ryan Tannehill was healthy, he would have been our starting quarterback. Well, no, Mike, we know that. If Ryan Tannehill was healthy, he would have started those games. That was not the question. It was, do you feel comfortable committing to Ryan Tannehill for next year?
Well,
he didn't say yes or no.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, you got to look at it from this
point. They
don't have
a GM.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. You got to look at it from this standpoint. He doesn't want to go out and give a committed answer to anything right now without a GM. Because this GM can come in and say, listen, we want to go in the direction of, we're getting a stadium in 3 more years. We want to go in the direction of getting our franchise quarterback. So let's package a deal to try to move up inside the top 3 or 4 and get our quarterback. Vrabel can't say, well, we're committed to Ryan Tannehill, and then a GM comes in and say, listen, I want to go in another direction. Now it seems like they're already butting heads, even at the beginning.
But that's totally the point, is that he can't commit to Ryan Tannehill. He won't say if Ryan Tannehill...
Even if he wanted to commit
to him. Even if he wanted
to. Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee that Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback next season. And whoever's decision that is, whoever between the new GM and Mike Vrabel have final say, he can't say right now definitively if Ryan Tannehill is going to be the starting quarterback of the future, at least the starting quarterback in 2023. So we have to keep that in mind when thinking of who the next offensive coordinator is going to be. Is they have not drawn a line in the sand of Ryan Tannehill starting quarterback in 2023, yes or no. And I think the second biggest part of this as well is Derrick Henry. Does Mike Vrabel see Derrick Henry as continuing to be the foundation and the staple of this offense? This was Mike Vrabel.
Well, I mean, I think that there's a, you know, there's a consistency. I think we've, you know, built the offense around Derrick. We've, you know, had a lot of success in that regard. You know, we have to protect our quarterback better. You know, when you don't protect your quarterback, they get hurt or they turn the ball over. So we have to do that. You know, we have to take care of the football. You know, we gave it to our best player, and you know, he turned it over this year, and he hadn't in the past. And so, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into, you know, performance, and you know, we'll look at everything.
Okay, so again, not definitively committing to Derrick Henry one way or another, and really calling Derrick Henry out, if anything, calling him out for the fumbles. And we gave it to our best player. We got to protect the football. He didn't protect the football. So, and I understand that without the new GM in here, Mike Vrabel can't say definitively, yes, Ryan Tannehill is our starting quarterback, and yes, the offense will continue to run through Derrick Henry. But two very non-committal answers from Mike Vrabel of really the two cornerstones of this offense. So there is still an opportunity. Mike Vrabel still has left the door open for the Titans offense to potentially not have Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry next year, or one or the other.
I think at this point, I would be really surprised if they're not back with those guys. But I do think you got to ask, with a new offense, new GM, what is the approach? For example, and I think the pass protection is a big component of this, and of course, who are the receivers? But Derrick Henry led the league in rushing attempts again with 349, and he only played 16 games. So he played one less game than Josh Jacobs, who had the next most in 17 games, 340. So I think that's where you start. The Titans, if you look at team rushing attempts, it actually wasn't as high as I thought. They were 11th in team rushing attempts per game, where they've been top two or three, you know, in a lot of years when the offense is clicking. So I think you hit the philosophical question last segment, Derek, is what kind of evolution do you want to see in the offense with a new coordinator? Do you want to get a little bit more towards, you know, the way the modern offense works, where you're going to throw the ball around a little bit more? But to do that, you've got to be able to protect the quarterback. They simply could not protect the quarterback. They couldn't call certain pass plays. They knew they couldn't protect long enough. Either that, or they had to keep like three tight ends in to try to have extra blockers. And that way you can't send a whole lot of guys out into the pattern. So you've got to decide, is Derrick Henry still the linchpin of the offense? Is he going to be a 350 carry guy? Mm-hmm. Or do we need to cut back on that? And pass more. And if we pass more, how do we tweak and have the pieces to effectively do that? Those are big, big questions.
Well, I think they can do both. They can run the football effectively and become a passing team. Now, whether they are able to do that with Derrick Henry or not, that's a different story. Because to me, he's the one area that he's limited in, and it hurts the Titans, is his pass catching ability. Not just catching screen pass. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about him just standing out there catching a pass on the sideline that is getting thrown to him from like 5 yards away. I mean running routes, angle routes, out routes, things that we see other backs doing. Derrick Henry hasn't been able to do that, and I don't think he will be able to do it. Now, he's become a better pass catcher.
He had his best year, Derek. Yeah. They threw him the ball more than they've ever thrown it to him before, 41 times. He caught 33. He had almost 400 receiving yards, which is probably almost twice as many ever had before.
He's not that dynamic pass catcher.
It's not his strength. You're right. That is not his strength. But I'm just pointing out that they actually got some mileage out of that I wasn't sure he was capable of. So that is something to think about. And I do think that takes away a little bit of wear and tear. Wouldn't you say, like, you're not getting hit as much if you can find the type of targets, the screens, and some of the things he can do pretty well. But you're right. He's not a guy that's going to go out and run routes, per se. He's more of a standstill, catch, gets some blockers in front of him kind of guy.
Their ideal, I think, is more of a Hassan Haskins type of running back. A guy that's physical, strong, a guy that can run between the tackles. But also, if we want to put him out, you know, side, or we want to run these specific routes with him, I think they believe Hassan Haskins can do that. Derrick Henry can't do that. Has he gotten better as a pass catcher? Absolutely. He's worked his tail off, but he's still limited in what they can do from a third down standpoint. They can't do so. I'm sure Todd Downing wanted to open up the offense on third down a little bit more and have Derrick Henry in the game, but because of his limitations, he can't. He can't put him out there on third and four, third and five, because Derrick Henry is not that type of pass-catching back. Has he gotten better? Yes, but he's not that dynamic. He's a dynamic runner, but he's not a dynamic pass catcher.
And it also depends on, you know, not every third down is created equally.
Exactly.
On third and two, Derrick Henry needs to be
on the field. Course.
And even if it is a third and four, third and five, third and nine, mm-hmm. where you're not going to run it up the middle, it's not an obvious running down. I think one of the critiques that I had about Todd Downing was, why isn't Derrick Henry at least out there?
Because it takes a weapon away from you that you need on the field in those particular times. I know Derrick Henry draws attention, mm-hmm. but nobody, and I repeat, no defensive coordinator is going to pay attention to Derrick Henry on third and nine and third and 10 or even third and eight. He's a just watching, but he's not a guy that they're saying, hey, listen, they're going to throw the ball to Derrick Henry on this play. Or they're going to say, Derrick Henry is a threat to catch the football on third and eight, third and nine. He's not. Defenses are not going to put that much attention to him. Now, like you said, when it's third and two, that's something
you
got to totally
be out
different.
There.
Exactly. He has to be out there. But yep. anything above 5 yards, he's limited in what he can do as a pass catcher. That's why he wasn't out there a lot of times.
Yeah, and in fairness to Downing, but before Dontrell Hilliard got hurt, and this goes back to the soft tissue, I believe it was a muscle pull with Dontrell Hilliard that short-circuited his season. But before he got hurt, he was an excellent third down back. His numbers were great. He had some game-changing plays. He had 4 touchdowns. And you know, but that's a sort of a distant memory because he did all that when the team was doing well in 7-3. He was he disappeared. He got hurt. He was never heard from again. And then that also begs another question. What do they think of Haskins going forward? That's a question for the new GM. What do they think they can make him something, or is he just kind of a guy?
So what does the Titans offense look like next year? Of course, Vrabel not committing one way or another to either Tannehill or Derrick Henry. But who is the person to get the Titans to the 2023 offense that they may want to emulate next year? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Mike, when you're assessing the coaching staff here, how much of it is based on practice, teaching, development, and how much of it is game execution?
Yeah, I think that there's, you got to teach, you got to develop, and you have to inspire the player. And I think, you know, the play callers, you know, have to be, efficient and be in rhythm and understand what we're trying to do as a team, that we want, you know, to execute the game plan and what I feel like is the best way to win that particular game.
There you go. That was Mike Vrabel on what he expects from his coordinators and his play callers. Got to be efficient. Got to have a good idea of what the team wants to do. So who's out there? Who is that person that will be the next Titans offensive play caller? And there's kind of two schools of thought in terms of looking for the offensive coordinator. And the offensive coordinator search is, quote unquote, Vrabel guys. Guys that already exist within Mike Vrabel's network, and then somebody new, somebody on the outside. And there have been names floating around in both schools of thought. And I'll start with the Vrabel guys. We've seen, of course, Tim Kelly be the most obvious name that's emerged. Tim Kelly, current offensive or passing game coordinator for the Titans. And then there's Bill O'Brien, who hired Mike Vrabel in Houston, who's been Alabama's offensive coordinator for the past year, 2 years, however long it's been.
It's been a year.
A year?
Yep, I believe it.
And who has expressed desire to get back into the NFL. There's also Pep Hamilton, who worked with Mike Vrabel in Texas, with the Texans, and has been the Texans' offensive coordinator over the last 3 years. So those are your Vrabel, Houston Texans guys that currently kind of exist in Mike Vrabel's bubble.
O'Brien, 2 years, my fault, I'm sorry.
2 years.
2 years with Alabama. Yeah, you're right. If you look at this list, and it's not like it's a long list of individuals. It's a very short list, starting with the guys already in-house, whether it's Tim Kelly, whether it's the running backs coach, who's been there for a while, whether it's Pat O'Hara, who came in with Vrabel, and Pat O'Hara has been a head coach in Arena League, and he's called plays and whatnot, and then Bill O'Brien. So I think the obvious choice here, and you and I spoke briefly about it, Caroline, off air, is Bill O'Brien. I think Bill O'Brien, he wasn't a good head coach, NFL head coach. He was a good college head coach. What he did at Penn State amidst all of that stuff that was going on, he stabilized that program. And then obviously they chose to go another way, but he did stabilize that program considering what they were going through. And, you know, he just wasn't a head coach, but he's been a very effective play caller. And he's sort of, to me, he's sort of in the same realm as Dean Pease, a guy that knows his job and he knows it very well. And you don't have to be sort of this looking over his shoulder, seeing what he's doing, what he's going to call. Is he putting your team in the best position? I think Bill O'Brien gives you the ability to say, this is your offense. You have leeway to do whatever you want to do with this offense. I don't know if Tim Kelly gives you that. I think there's still sort of this watching over the shoulder in a sense. But, you know, he's going to do, meaning Vrabel, he's going to do what he has done before. I think he's going to hire guys that he knows, that he's coached with, that either gave him an opportunity to coach or he's coached with. So that leaves the people on his staff. And then Bill O'Brien, obviously Pep Hamilton is out there, and he would be a good choice too. But I'm sure that there may be a couple other guys they interview, but I would be surprised if they go outside of either Tim Kelly or Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien's an interesting one. I had not thought about him a lot recently. Of course, the rap on him has always been pretty good coach, but when he got into the coach/GM thing, that's when they got burned big time and the program sort of disintegrated in front of our eyes down in Houston, and that was to the benefit of the Titans there. And that's interesting we have that discussion, because that's a whole nother question, is how much involvement will Mike Vrabel seek and have with the new GM, whoever it is. So it's interesting you bring up O'Brien's name, because that got my wheels turning. But I keep going back to whoever the coordinator is, if you can't protect the quarterback, you're going to have problems. They had the fourth worst pass protection in the game, and the only teams that were worse were really bad teams, like the Bears, the Rams, who had the wheels fall off, and, of course, Denver, who had a horrendous offense. So it wasn't just – so I'm looking at adjusted sack rate for Football Outsiders. Takes into account different situations in the game. But they got sacked 49 times, so it has to do also with how many pass attempts. So it's the percentage of times that you get sacked. So, you know, I don't care if you have you pick who you think is the greatest offensive mind – of our time, put him in there with no offensive line where you can't protect the quarterback and you basically have no receivers. You could do pretty much one thing, and that's run the ball with Derrick Henry. And then for most of the season, you either didn't have Ryan Tannehill or you had Ryan Tannehill playing on one leg, or at least for half the season. It's going to make it tough, right? So I just think we need to keep that perspective. How much better could I think it's also the personnel is as big a part of this equation as it is who ends up calling the plays.
And the overhaul of the offensive line, or at least improvement of the offensive line, is going to happen no matter who your offensive coordinator is. That's going to happen no matter who your quarterback is. I know that a lot of people said that when there were conversations of Tom Brady potentially coming to the Titans. People were saying, do you think that he would come, you know, and play behind this offensive line? Well, you're going to have to improve the offensive line no matter who is back there. And I think that's a big factor to the ceiling and the floor of this offense moving forward. But Derek, to your point about Pep Hamilton, I mean, you say he'd be a good hire. I don't know if I've seen anything from Pep Hamilton that would make me think that he could be a good hire.
I mean, he was offensive coordinator with, and now granted, you could say it was Andrew Luck, but he was offensive coordinator in Indianapolis, and they always had a top 10 offense. You know, so he's a guy that that understands offenses and that can get you to that level. Granted, you got to have some talent too. You know, his stint there in Houston wasn't as good, but they was depleted of talent. But still, Davis Mills did have, you know, somewhat of a little streak within there. That team just didn't have talent on offense. It was just depleted of talent. So I think Pep would be – he wouldn't be a bad hire. But I just think you whoever you hire, whether it's Pep Hamilton, Bill O'Brien, Tim Kelly, you go outside, whether you get Cliff Kingsbury or, you know, anyone else that you may deem – worthy of taking over this offensive coordinator job, whether it's Buffalo Bills. I think he's their receivers coach or
Joe Brady.
Yeah.
He's the quarterback's coach.
Quarterback's coach. Yeah. Joe Brady. Whether it's him, because he was one of the hot names a few years ago, Joe Brady.
Well,
so whoever you get, they got to be willing to take this offense and really push it forward without any pushback.
Mm-hmm.
And that pushback I'm talking about is from the head coach. You got to give them the ability to say, this is yours. I trust you. Now push this offense into 2023, 2024 beyond, because right now we're not there. And we can do it if we bring Derrick Henry back. If we want to bring Derrick Henry back, we still can be that type of offense. But now we got to do it a little bit different. We can't run Derrick Henry 300 and something times. We have to have that balance of run and pass, but also being a dynamic passing team, knowing how to win more than just running a football if a team shuts us down.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into your calls, your texts, your thoughts on where the Titans offense goes from here. But coming up next, we'll talk to NFL ESPN, ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 106.3 The Game.